Well, it's my privilege this morning to welcome Pastor Ryan Giffen to be with us. And it was a bit of a homecoming in some ways. They were married here in this place in 2011. That sounds right? You remember that, Kendra? You remember 2011? Yeah. But it's a bit of a homecoming, though, because Pastor Ryan's wife, Kendra, grew up here in this church. And it's a blessing to have folks come back, and many of you are visiting, or perhaps you grew up in this church, and what a blessing it is to see one another again. But at the same time, we're so blessed because so many people have grown up in this church and been sent out, and we just praise God for that because of his faithfulness working through all of you as the church. You have raised up folks and sent them out, sometimes around the world or across the country, and sometimes to other churches here in the community. But what a blessing it is. And so I want to invite Pastor Ryan to come and share. Ryan serves as pastor in Northwest Kansas City, as well as teaches a little bit at one of our Nazarene universities. So Ryan, come and share this morning with us. Let's welcome him as he comes.
Excellent. Thank you, Pastor John. So good to be with you today. Again, my name is Ryan, and I am the one who was blessed to marry Kendra Crow. Can you believe it? This guy here. How did this happen? This is ridiculous, right? So we actually have a daughter. Her name is Anaya. She's in the house with us this morning, too. She is 3 years old, and she's in charge. No matter what anybody tells you, she runs the show. So we love her. She's great. She's back there. And as Pastor John mentioned, it's just so good to be with you because this does feel like a bit of a homecoming for me. I haven't spent a lot of time in this building, but last time I was here, I was getting married on this stage. And that was unforgettable, to say the least. So good to be with you. Also, just so proud of my family. Thankful for Don and Martha Crow right back here. So thankful for Claire and Helen Long and Ron and Lorraine Crow. Many of you know these people. These are folks who gave years, have given and continue to give years of investment in this place, who sacrificed much financially for this place, who gave so much, and we honor them today. We're grateful for them. And they represent a host of people like you who continue to pour into the kingdom of God and represent the kingdom so well. I'm thankful for Pastor John and Katie. Good to see you, Katie. We love these folks. You have an awesome pastor. You have an awesome pastoral family. Listen to me. I'm just telling you, they could go other places. They have stayed here because they're called to be here. But you are fortunate to have such an awesome couple as your pastor. So continue to take good care of them. Today I want to preach from one of the most famous biblical passages in all of Scripture, the 23rd Psalm. You've probably heard this before, Psalm 23. I'm going to read it for us today. So if you have your Bible with you, I want to invite you, just like I have my Bible here with me, to go ahead and open your Bible up. Maybe you've got it on your phone. You can access it that way too. The words will be on the screen here as well. But let me just invite you to open to Psalm 23. Verses 1 through 6, which are all the verses in Psalm 23, and we will read this together today. Everybody there? You got it? Okay. Here's what this scripture says. Some of you had this memorized in the King James Version. This is what it says in the New International Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Holy Scripture. We believe that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that we, your servants, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We believe that the Word of God is alive and active, and we give your Word permission this morning to judge the thoughts and the attitudes of our own hearts. So open our minds so that we can understand your Word and help those of us who have ears to actually hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. May your Word not return to you empty, but may it accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you have sent it to us this morning. We pray these things in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 So, some of our most important words in English take on an entirely different meaning when three little letters are added to the front of them. The letters D, I, S, dis. For example, when dis is added to the word obey, the word means the opposite, right? Disobey. The word respect is changed to disrespect. The word regard becomes disregard. What was once an ability is now a disability. The word engage becomes disengage. One of my favorite words, the word grace, quickly becomes one of my least favorite words, the word disgrace. Everything changes when these three little letters are prefixed to the word. But perhaps the best example of the power of these three little letters is found in their attachment to the word appointment. Everybody say appointment. Appointment. Now, some types of appointments can be annoying, right? They can be inconvenient, and they can even be kind of scary if we're honest. But the reality is that most of us, whether we would admit it or not, actually appreciate appointments. Appointments create a sense of predictability for us in an unpredictable world. Deep down, we know that we really don't have very much control over the future, but when we can put something on the calendar, when we can write it out or type it into our phone, it at least gives us the illusion that maybe we do. But a disappointment reminds us that we actually don't. A disappointment is literally this. It's literally a missed appointment. What we had hoped would happen didn't happen. We wanted health, but we got a scary diagnosis. We wanted retirement, but we got high insurance costs that have postponed that. We wanted to live happily ever after, but we found ourselves meeting with an attorney. We wanted a promotion, but instead we were laid off. We wanted the acceptance letter, but we got the rejection letter. We wanted children, but we couldn't conceive. We had an appointment, but we got dissed. The pain caused by past disappointment is one that all of us know. Everybody in the room knows this, and it's absolutely real. And without in any way denying the pain of those things and the real damage that they've caused to our own soul, wouldn't it just be great if the sting of those past disappointments could actually be healed? Wouldn't it be great if we could find freedom from the sting of past disappointments? That sounds pretty good to me, moving into 2020. And this is where our famous passage of Scripture may have some help for us. All of Psalm 23 is worth studying. I loved watching, as I was reading the Scripture, some of you were actually mouthing the words with me. It's beautiful. So we could spend a lot of time in this text. But today I want us to hone in on just one six word line that you may have breezed right past as we were reading it together. And it's found in verse 5. If you have your Bible open in front of you, it simply says this: "You anoint my head with oil." Now you might be thinking, Pastor Ryan, what does this line about oil have anything to do with the sting that comes from past disappointments? That's a good question. Let me answer it. So look at verse 1 of the psalm. If you're following along, the psalm writer David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." In other words, in this psalm, there's a connection being made between the goodness of the Lord and the goodness of a shepherd tending to their flock out in the pasture. Now, you might be shocked to hear that I don't actually have any experience as a shepherd. I actually don't have any experience like farming at all. It's amazing that I married into a farming family. I'm such a city breath. I wonder if these people are like thinking, who is this guy still with us? But I'm from the city. I'm sorry. It worked out. But I don't know anything about shepherding at all. Never owned any sheep, never been out there with the sheep. But I did a little reading and research in preparation for this message today about how shepherding worked, particularly in ancient Israel, when this psalm was written by King David. And what I've learned is this, that ancient shepherds would have been great customers for all of your friends who are into the whole essential oils craze. Do you know these people? Are you these people? Yeah. Somebody knows somebody who's into the essential oils. Apparently, those things are kind of a big deal. Well, here's the thing. In ancient Israel, shepherds would actually use oil to treat the wounds of their sheep. I'm not making this up. This is factual information. Most of the wounds that a sheep would acquire, were simply the result of living in a pasture. So sheep wandering into pasture land would often get pricked by thorns or cut by rocks. Or sometimes they might actually like they would rub their itchy head too hard against a tree. So they like create their own wounds. Sheep get hurt. And as a result, a good shepherd in ancient Israel would regularly, often daily, inspect their sheep, searching for cuts and abrasions inside their sheep. So the good shepherd would not want this cut that this sheep had to worsen. The good shepherd would not want today's wound in this sheep to become tomorrow's infection in the sheep. Are you tracking with this? Yes. Okay. So what in the world does this have to do with us? In another psalm, in Psalm 100, verse 3, the Bible refers to us, the people of God, God's holy people, as God's sheep. Here's what that verse says. It says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." That's what the Bible tells us. All right. So I like how the Message version puts this verse. It says, "He made us. We didn't make Him. We're His people, His well-tended sheep." That's a claim the Bible makes about our lives, okay? Later on in the New Testament, Jesus Himself said these words in John chapter 10, verse 14. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." So Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are His well-tended sheep, Scripture says. And just like sheep, we have wounds. The song you ladies sang for us was perfect for this message, right? If we're honest, we've got wounds. And also, if we're honest, most of our wounds aren't physical, are they? Most of us would take thorns or rocks over the kinds of cuts and abrasions that we've experienced as a result of our missed appointments in life. Things like a scary diagnosis, or a postponed retirement, a broken relationship, the loss of a job, the inability to conceive a child. All of those things cut deep. I'm certain that there are people here this morning who right now, in this moment, are experiencing the pain of a missed appointment. We have a couple in our church in Kansas City whose son has a chronic illness. If you could talk to the mother of this child, and she considered you a person that she could trust with how she's really doing, she could be honest, like the song we heard talks about, she would tell you this. She would tell you that she is emotionally and physically exhausted, to say nothing about the helplessness that she must feel as she watches her child suffer. Our children aren't supposed to suffer, are they? That's disappointing. Another mom in our congregation has a son who's in trouble. Son is about to reap what son has sown. And this mother is a good mom. She's doing the very brave and laudable and absolutely not shameful thing of seeking professional counseling to help her cope with the wound that such a disappointing circumstance has created in her own heart. Like all churches, I imagine there are people here at Marshalltown NAS today who are really struggling with their marriage, if they could be honest. Statistically, we know that there are people here today in the room who've experienced the extreme disappointment of being on the receiving end of emotional and relational and sexual and occupational and financial and even spiritual abuse of all kinds. They've experienced deep scarring. And somehow the enemy, the devil, has deceived them into thinking, it's not a big deal. You don't need to open up about it. I mean, no one else has been hurt like you have. Everyone else has it all together. No one else talks about it, so you don't need to either. That would just be awkward. And all the while, day after day, week after week, year after year, decade after decade, the wound festers. The wound festers. Resentment pulls up a chair. Bitterness takes root. The wound goes unhealed. So there's a phrase that I heard one time that makes a whole lot of sense to me the older I get. And here's the phrase. You may have heard it before, but if you haven't, here it is. Hurt people hurt people. You heard that before? Write it down if you haven't. Hurt people hurt people. When we don't allow the good shepherd to tend the wounds of our disappointment, our wounds begin to infect our relationships. And we wonder why our lives are now infected with strained marriages and relational distance with our kids and broken friendships, and why we can't get along with the people that we work with. And we wonder why we can't move on to a new and better and deeper and more fulfilling place in our life and in these relationships. And we wonder why everyone else in the world seems to be just fine except us. If this is your story, if any of this is resonating with you at all, if it's not, praise God. I'm bitter and jealous of your life. But if any of this is like, it's kind of getting close, Pastor Ryan, hear the word of the Lord today. You need to let the good shepherd anoint you with oil. You need to invite the great physician to apply his healing balm to the sting of these past disappointments in your life. You need to let him extract the bitterness that's already taken root under your skin. You need to refuse to allow that wound to go untreated for one more day. Today's the day. Now, here's what's crazy. You have a choice, right? You can just keep on being wounded. That's up to you. Totally your call. No one else can decide that for you. How do you do that, though? How do you find healing? I want to wrap up with this. Here's what you do. You'd simply let God do for you what a good shepherd does for their sheep. Let God tend to your wound. We are God's well-tended sheep. And the great physician wants to tend to the wound of your missed appointments today if you'll let him. And here's some steps. These are three simple steps. This isn't going to solve anything, but it's going to get you down the road to healing. These steps are not easy, but they are simple. First, go to him. Notice in the scripture it says, "You anoint my head with oil." So have you honestly taken your disappointment to God? You may have shared it with your neighbor or your relatives or your friends, but have you taken these disappointments to God honestly in prayer? Have you done that? In a moment of focused prayer, just exposed your wound to the Good Shepherd? Second, bow before him. In order to be anointed, a shepherd has to stand still. A sheep has to stand still and lower their head and let the shepherd do his work, right? So for us, this isn't about like literal physical bowing, though you could do that. We have altars here for that purpose. But it's about actually coming to God with a humble heart. I like what Christian author Max Lucado writes about this. He says, when we come to God, we make requests. We don't make demands. We come with high hopes and a humble heart. We state what we want, but we pray for what is right. And that leads directly to the third step, and it's simply this: trust in him. You know, a sheep, you probably know more about sheep than I do, but I know this much. A sheep doesn't understand how the shepherd's oil heals its wounds. Doesn't get that. All that a sheep knows is that something happens in the presence of the shepherd. When I go to the shepherd, good things happen. Can't explain it, I don't get it, but I just know that when I go to the shepherd, good things happen. I want to invite you this morning, just right where you are. We won't belabor this, but I want to just give you the chance to respond in your heart to what you've heard today. So let me invite you just to get comfortable where you are. Bow your head, close your eyes. We're almost done. We'll wrap up with this. I'll pronounce a blessing on you after we pray together. But if your holiday season has been anything like mine, it's been pretty busy, and you maybe have not had a chance at all just to pause and take a deep breath and be quiet and talk honestly to God. This is an invitation this morning to do that, okay? So just do that right where you are. Try not to be distracted by the people around you. Just you and God right now, honestly. He knows you. You are his well-tended sheep. He loves you. He's on your side. He's in your corner today, all right? Just talk to him. Say, Lord, you know my wound. You know it hurts. You know my struggle to forgive. You know the bitterness that I don't want in my life, but I just can't shake. You know about the resentment that I feel in my heart towards this person that I just have tried to stuff. And if I'm honest this morning, that wound has still not gone unhealed, and I want it to be healed, Lord. And so I come to you, Father, Good Shepherd, asking you to touch me, asking you to anoint my head with oil, to apply your healing balm to my life today. Just ask that you would just gently come, Spirit. Right now, Lord, I know you're hearing prayers all over this sanctuary. Prayers for freedom. Prayers for release. Prayers for help. Just an acknowledgement that we can't do this on our own. We need the help of the Good Shepherd. Honor these prayers, Lord. I pray for the person in the room today who is struggling to believe this. It sounds good, but there's some sort of hurdle that's preventing them from having the faith that you really are good and that you really do want to bring them healing. I pray for that person right now, Lord, that they would receive all that they are entitled to from you as one of your sheep. And for some of us, Lord, as we wrap up today, it occurs to us that what you're asking us to do in this moment to move toward a place of healing for these past disappointments is actually to take an action step. Maybe you're impressing on us to make a phone call or to send a text or to set up some sort of meeting with somebody and to extend grace and forgiveness and to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I forgive you. Say, I don't want to carry this around anymore. And for some, maybe that is going to require more than just a nice, quiet moment here, but it's going to require something that's going to take great courage. And I just pray that they would find that in you today. Thank you for being here with us. Thanks for the opportunity to share with these good people. I pray your blessing on Marshalltown Church of the Nazarene, Pastor John and Katie and their family, that this would be the place that it has always been, just a place that continues to shine the light of Jesus in this community, to share the gospel with those who are really hurting, to be a source of hope and a place of refuge for those who need messages like this, need assurance and hope that only you can bring. We love you so much. Thank you, Good Shepherd, for being with us today. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. It's beautiful. I want to pronounce a blessing on you before you go. Let me invite you to stand with me at this time. It's awesome. You need to keep encouraging these girls. That's like the best thing you got going. That's so good. So good. Well done, ladies. If you're ever in Kansas City, you can sing in my church anytime, all right? Anytime. You just come on in. When you start your world tour, all right, just stop in Kansas City, okay? We do a thing at my church. This might be awkward, might be weird. Don't be weirded out by this, okay? I just want to invite you to do this, and I'll explain what's happening. Let me invite you just to look at your palms, okay? Just extend your hands. And again, nothing strange about this. What you're doing is you're actually taking a posture of receiving this blessing that we're going to send you out with today, okay? That's all that's happening. Nothing spooky or weird about it, just receiving this blessing. And the blessing is straight from the Bible. This is from the book of 1 Thessalonians, and it simply says this: May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Go in the peace of the Lord. You are dismissed. God bless you. Happy New Year.